Today, I'd like to talk about what I'm interested in now. And the title of my talk is Modulation, Coding, and Decoding for Classical Quantum Time. And Professor Piotr and me is a very, very long story, so I can't tell you. But yesterday, Dr. Fuchs told the funny thing. Do you remember? So, Osama Hirota. Osama Hirota. This means Osama has a meaning in Japanese. So, do you know? No.
Everyone.
Anyone knows? Of course, of course. Japanese, all Japanese. So, that's right. So, King Hirota, this means.
So, he has very many
students. And, but we think he doesn't look like king, so that's a very good point of him. So and we so because we love him and we respect him. So first, I'd like to thank Dr. Fuchs and Professor Hoebel to organize this workshop as one of the disciples of Hirota. Thank you very much. And let me start with the speech of Professor Hirota in 1990, the International Workshop on Quantum Aspects of Optical Communications, 1990. That's the first workshop, first conference of the QCMC series. So, may I play back the record? Okay. So, just a second. As yesterday's talk, I wrote the Professor Hilda's speech and.
Welcome all of you to the International Workshop on the Quantum Aspects of Optical Communication. So far, the background of optical communication has been discussed independently in many scientific fields as mathematics, information theory, physics, and communication engineering. As a result, many symposia were already held in each field, and an excellent progress in the general theory has been reported. Unfortunately, there are still problems in understanding the fruitful results of scientific articles because of a difference in various points of view, importance and terminology. Now the interconnection of all the fields should be required, and the exchange between scientists is necessary. Based on these considerations, this workshop was planned. We believe that this is the first workshop which enables researchers in such a different field to discuss on the quantum aspect of certification at the same place and the same time.
And if you want to listen to the two versions, I can play back in the coffee break. So, and as Professor Hirota told, quantum information is an interdisciplinary field of mathematics, information theory, physics, and communication engineering. And maybe many of you are interested in physics, but I'm interested in approach from communication engineering. So maybe some terminology is different. And the final target is the realization of fast, reliable, and secure optical quantum communications. And toward this goal, derivation of the capacity is, of course, very important. The capacity is a quantitative target of achievable asymptotic information rate. And as Professor Shoa told yesterday, there are many capacities. And here I mean by the capacity, classical capacity unassisted by entanglement. And for the capacity, in the case of noiseless channel, Professor Yuen and Professor Ozawa derived the capacity in 1992. And for attenuation channel, and Professor Horrible told pure loss channel, there are many names. And this channel is important. This is a model of free space or optical fiber channel. And the capacity was derived in 2004. So my question is, what modulation coding and decoding can achieve the capacity? So the channel coding theorem and the above result implies that the continuous modulation or Gaussian modulation, random coding, and square root measurement on typical subspace can achieve the capacity. This fact was already told by Professor Shoa. However, the combination of continuous modulation, random coding, and square root measurement on typical subspace is difficult to realize. Even in the classical information theory, the continuous modulation and random coding and maximum a posterior decoding is not be considered as the realizable system, but is considered as a tool for proof of the channel coding theorem. So we will consider the discrete or digital modulation and concrete coding, such as linear code or pseudocyclic code, and the square root measurement on code space. And the purpose of this research is to answer the following question. First question, can capacity with discrete valued input achieve the full capacity? And second, what is the best quantum corrective decoding for a certain class of codes? And the third, what is the performance of the code? And finally, how to implement the quantum decoding or quantum receiver. And today I talk about two topics. First one is capacity of attenuate channel with discrete valued input. That is prior to answer this question. And the second topic, coding and decoding for discrete coherent state signals. This is a trial to answer these questions. And I'm very interested in the implementation problem, but I will not talk in this afternoon. Okay, so let's move on to the first topics. Capacity of attenuated channel with discrete valued input. We consider an attenuated signal mode optical channel when the energy or average photon number of the input signal is constrained. So because this is a very basic situation, and assume that the average photon number is less than or equal a certain value ns. This is the energy constraint. And let eta be the transmissivity of an attenuated channel. Then the capacity of an attenuated channel can be calculated as the following. And in the following, we call this capacity the full capacity, because this is the ultimate target. And as a known result, by using coherent state signals, Gaussian modulation, random coding, and SRM on typical substrates, the full capacity is asymptotically achieved. And this paper also mentioned that the full capacity was also compared with heterodyne or homodyne capacity in order to estimate how well can we approach the capacity using conventional decoding scheme. And it is known that homodyne and heterodyne capacity is something like this. And this can be achieved by using coherent state signals, Gaussian modulation, random coding, homodyne or heterodyne detection, and soft decoding. And this capacity are obtained by the famous formula by Shannon in 1948. So, as Professor Shua told, the year 1948 is regarded as the birth year of the information theory. And, you know, it's also birth year of Professor Hirota. So, I think 1948 is a significant year, not only for the classical information science, but also quantum information science. And heterodyne is asymptotically achieved the full capacity in the limit of the large photon number. So the question is, how many photons are required to almost achieve the full capacity? So this is a numerical property. Horizontal axis is the average number of the received photons, and vertical axis the capacity. This violet line is the full capacity, green heterodyne, and red line corresponds to homodyne capacity. And from this figure, more than 90% of the full capacity can be achieved by heterodyne detection. And then the average number of the received photon is greater than about 10,000. And also we compute the case of more large photon number, and 95% of the full capacity can be achieved by the heterodyne detection, then the photon number is greater than about 200 million. And now I move on to the capacity attained by digital modulation. And first question, how many signals are required? So simple calculation can show that required number of the signals is of.
You showed a plot of the Helmerdine and the Heterodyne capacity. And on this, right, so it looks like the Helmerdine, so the Heterodyne is just a fixed number of bits below the full capacity, but the Helmerdine has a lower slope. And I thought on the previous page that it looked like they should both have the same slope. So you have log, oh no, there's a factor of half. Great. Thanks very much.
I missed half that. That's the reason.
That required number of the photons is lower bounded. So let IM be mutual information conveyed by MRE signals, then IM is upper bounded by log of N, and M is always greater than or equal to the power IM. So the number of signals to almost achieve the capacity C must be satisfied this inequality. So for example, for the full capacity, simple calculation shows that the required number of the signals is must be greater than or equal E times N. E is a Napier constant. Here, N is a received number of, average number of the received photons. And for example, N equal 1, N must be greater than or equal 4, and for the case of N equal 10, M is greater than 28. And in the case of 10,000, M is greater than 27,000. So this is a very large number of the signals. I mean, we need 27,000 array modulation is required. So in this research, we consider PSK and QAM coherent state signals. And because PSK and QAM are usual digital modulation in communication system, in conventional system, and coherent state attain the full capacity and also robust. And most related result was presented by Professor Soma and Professor Hirota, and they claimed that the full capacity is almost achieved by BPSK. B means a binary, so binary PSK signals, when the energy of the signals is very small. So we consider more than binary signals in the case of three or more signals. So let me remind the PSK signals. PSK is the phase shift keying, and it is a digital modulation scheme that conveys data by modulating the phase of the carrier. So the quantum state of the PSK signal is something like this. And this is a case of 16 array PSK signals on phase plane. And also, we remind 2AM signals. QAM is quadrature amplitude modulation and is a digital modulation scheme which conveys data by modulating the amplitude of two carrier waves. And this is the quantum state of the 2AM signals. And P and Q is a parameter, which is a member of set omega. Omega is something like this. And L is the square root of n. So this is an example for the case of 16 array. And in this case, L equal 4, and omega is the set of minus 3, minus 1, 1, 3. So let's think about the capacity of a generated channel with discrete value vector. The capacity of an attenuated channel of n coherent states in another use as discrete values in that it's calculated by this quantity. And here, xi I is the a priori probability of the signal I. And S is a von Neumann entropy. And rho I is input coherent state. And so with rho I in. Rho I out is the attenuated signal. And also, this is a coherent state. So because the output state is the pure, the second term of this quantity, we call Korolev quantity, the second term is zero. So we should only maximize the von Neumann entropy. So, and this maximization is performed under the energy constraint. And first, we consider the case of PSK signals. In this case, the power constraint, energy constraint, can reduce this simple equality. So it is sufficient to optimize a priori probability. And we can use the following theorem. In this case, uniform distribution is optimal. So this theorem, in the case of symmetric signals, we can use this theorem. So next, we consider the case of 2AM signals. But unfortunately, in the case of 2AM signals, both a priori probabilities and coherent amplitudes should be optimized because a 2AM signal has many amplitudes. And 2AM signals are also not symmetric signal. So we cannot apply that the previous theorem, and we should optimize numerically. So next, I'd like to talk about the result, numerical result. This is a capacity for PSK. And horizontal axis is the average number of the received photons, and vertical axis capacity. And actually, the lower line was drawn by Professor Soma and Professor Hilda. And from this figure, if the received photon number is less than 0.01, binary PSK almost achieves the full capacity. And also we can see that if n equal is greater, sorry, less than 0.2, these PSK signal almost achieve the full capacity. But look at this property. The capacities of the 8 PSK and 16 PSK is almost the same. So actually, we computed up to 128 PSK signals. But the line coincides for 16 array PSK, 32 RACSK, N64, and 128 RACSK streamer. That covers all curve point size. And so if n is greater than about 1, CSK might not be able to achieve the full capacity. So we need another modulation. We must modulation not only phase, but also amplitude, something like the QAM signals. So next slide shows that the property of the 16 array QAM. And from this figure, if n is less than 1.8, 16 array QAM almost achieve the full capacity. So, and this is more precise property, and horizontal axis, vertical axis is the capacity ratio to the full capacity. So the value 1 means the full capacity. So from this figure, the range of the signal energy in which the full capacity is almost achieved becomes 9 times wider by changing the modulation from PSK to QAM. And this figure shows the probability distribution by which the capacity with 16 array QAM is attained. And horizontal axis is received photon number, but the axis probability of the signals. And blue line is the probability of this inside signal, and green line is the probability of green signal, and red line is red signal. So from this figure, so inside signal is higher, has higher probability, and outside is lower. So this probability distribution is an approximation of Gaussian distribution. So let me conclude the past topics. We start with the question of can capacity with discrete valued inverse attain the full capacity? And the answer is yes. And when n equals 1.8, the full capacity is almost achieved by 16 array QAM. And because the QAM can be an approximation of the Gaussian distribution, so maybe appropriate QAM can achieve the full capacity. Okay, so we move on to the second topics, coding, decoding for discrete coherent state signals. And first, I talk about the relation between topics 1 and 2. Topic 1 mentioned the capacity, and topic 2 mentioned coding and decoding. So as topic 1 corresponds to asymptotic or ultimate limit, and topic 2 corresponds to finite or theorizable one. So the question is, what is the best quantum collective decoding for a certain class of code? So what does it mean by best? So we consider the minimization problem of the error probability. So the problem is to find quantum decoding to minimize the average probability of error, something like this. and theta is the probabilities of the code words, wi. Wi hat code word state corresponds to the code word. And pi j is quantum decoding. And in the following, we assume that the a priori probability is uniform for simplicity. And this is the result for binary case. And the result is the following. The square root measurement is optimal to minimize the average probability of error for any binary linear code when the signals are fewer.
Is there a particular reason for choosing average error probability instead of maximum error probability? Or is it easier to work with?
I'm not sure. I only studied about objects.
So,
and this result can be generalized to the MR case. SRM is also optimum to minimize the average probability of error for any MRE two-cyclic code, and the signals are symmetric. Okay. And
this is a definition of symmetric signals. So I remind you, let rho I be a set of quantum state signals. And rho I is called symmetric if there exists a unitary operator U, and this relation is false. And for the case of pure states, we have this relation. And actually, the PSK signal is a symmetric, the typical symmetric signals. So in this case, the unitary operator is a phase rotation operator. So the proposition says the best quantum corrective decoding for PSK coherent state signals coded by two-cyclic code is the SRM. But unfortunately, for coded QAM signals, the best decoding is unknown. So we tried to find the best decoding, but we couldn't. So we will try. And next, what is the performance of the code? So, as this proposition, SRM square root measurement is very important in decoding. So, we recall the definition of the SRM. For MRI pure state signals, the SRM is defined as something like this here. Mu j is called a measurement state, and phi is a gram operator. And in order to evaluate performance of coding and decoding, we can use the following lemma, following useful lemma. And for MRE pure state signals psi I, the inner product between the signal state and the measurement state of the SRM is equal to the ij component of the square root of the gram matrix. So actually, this lemma was used to prove the channel coding SRM, but we also can use for computing some quantities then the code word length is finite. But there is a problem. To compute the square root of the grand matrix is hard when the number of the code words is large, more than about 1,000. We cannot compute by personal computer. So we actually we have tried to simplify the calculation. And this is one of the results for binary case. For any binary linear NK code C, the IGA component of the square root of the grand matrix is calculated as follows. So this is a simplification of the calculation. And we also generalize to QRE code. So for QRE should cyclic code, the IJ component of the SLM of grand matrix can be calculated as the following. If the Q is a prime number and the letter states are symmetric and pure. So moreover, this result can be further generalized to any group covariant MRE code. And I mean, M is not only a prime number, but also arbitrary number. So we can apply the formula to binary PSK, 3PSK, and also 4PSK, 8PSK, and so on. And we have tried to apply this formula to concrete modulation and coding. And I will present you the next opportunity. And this is the conclusion of the second topic. First, this is the question. And the answer is SLM is the best decoding to minimize average probability of error for any issued cyclic code when the letter states are symmetric and pure. And for the second question, we can use the formula of channel matrix for any group covariant code. And the remaining problem is like this. Optimum decoding and its formula for coded QAM signal is still not known. So we should try to find the optimum decoding and its formula for QAM. So finally, I summarize my talk. The ultimate capacity is certainly important, but I am interested in how to use the result and how to connect with technology. So although the result of our study is neither scientific nor sensational, I think such a study is necessary to realize fast, reliable, and secure optical communication, quantum communication in near future. So thank you for listening.
Yeah, I think Professor Yashoda gave a very clear and nice talk. I just want to answer the question for him. The average probability of error is used because it's the actual error rate one observes in communications. It's not the maximum.
Assuming that you're sending a maximally compressed source.
No, one sends the all the states you used with the data with that probability. So because you use everyone with the corresponding. So in the long run, that's good.
It's just equivalent to the previous slide. Can you show the previous slide? You write remaining problem optimum decoding and its formula for non-symmetric signals. But it was proved in the 80s probably that square root measurement is asymptotically optimal for almost orthogonal states without any symmetry. And when you have asymptotically increasing number of block coding, then you have this approximate orthogonality, and this SRM becomes more and more optimal. But if you want to find precisely optimum decoding, then I think it's impossible probably in general case.
Can you make some comment? I know you said your work is in progress. So are you going to try to realize the square root measurement for whatever single sets that you need?
Yes, but very simple case. So I tried not coding, coding is complicated. So I mean, decoding problem is complicated than the discriminated signal. So first, I tried to make the optimal process.
On a mode-by-mode basis, you make an optimal quantum receiver without coding, just on a single signal.
The energy constraint on your input states has a rotational symmetry in phase space. It's, you know, it's all of the states lined within a certain circle, essentially. And your phase modulation code respects that symmetry, though it only uses the sort of outer circle. But the amplitude coding that you showed was on a square grid, although you used a roughly Gaussian prior distribution, which makes it more circular. But I'm curious, have you considered looking at a very similar thing, but on a triangular or hexagonal grid? Because that would seem to be better suited to the rotational symmetry of the problem. I'm curious if you've done anything with that, with other lattices.
Not square, but
circle. Like a triangular lattice, for instance. So you have coherent states at the vertices of a triangular lattice. I'm just curious if that would have perhaps slightly better capacity than the square lattice.
So maybe I must try.
I'm just curious to get this look into it.
Yeah, I'm still interested in this question. Yeah, Osamu Lowe's. I think society always likes to build optimum quantum receivers, and since you were publishing papers in this on the square root measurement many years ago, is he doing it, or is he trying to do that in practice? Do you know? Society to realize the square root measurement for, say, any signal that you want to talk about,
6, 4, 8
Did you publish a paper with
him also? He tried the BPSK case. And,
the BPSK, that's fine, and that's a special case. You know, that's a real one, different one. You know whether he's doing, trying to do that? I mean, you don't have to know, but I just thought maybe you were all collaborators before.
And also, Dr. Sasaki showed that the realization of quantum decoding, but for qubits.
Okay, so he doesn't want to pursue this kind of thing anymore.
the most important.